Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
American Glutton Podcast has a Patreon. Do you hate commercials? Well, we've got a Patreon. Do you want bonus episodes? That's on the Patreon. Do you want to hang out and chat in our Discord channel? That's part of the Patreon too. We even have an option where you can leave me voicemails. All on the Patreon. So check it out today. Patreon.com/AmericanGlutton. We have a Patreon.
Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment, food as sport, food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me.
I hate to ask you to do anything, but if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, review, all of the above on whatever app you're getting it from. American Glutton is brought to you by Trifecta. Trifecta is the perfect tool for diet and maintenance adherence. It reduces time, thought, and effort in making sure I am never without the food I need to succeed. Go to www.trifectanutrition.com/AmericanGlutton where you will get 40% off your first order. My guest today is my brother, Nick Cassavetes. I've worked with Nick on many movies going back over 20 years. I've had him on the show before. He is an all-around badass, a writer, director, actor, and a total gym rat. Please enjoy our conversation. Oh, you can find pictures of Nick at various shapes and sizes on his Instagram, at Paul Smemus. You look great.
Feel good. Just part of it is I wanted to come on and talk about experiences, because I know that our stories, even though they're different, they're not that dissimilar.
I mean, look, they're very similar, especially over the past 10 to 20 years, maybe not even 20, 10 to 15 years.
You look great, brother.
I just flexed for him.
You just need to eat a cheeseburger, brother. You just got to do it.
I'm wasting away. But like, no, I think you had a great point the other day, and it is something we should talk about because it weighs heavily on me. And I think anybody who's ever battled this at all or gone through it, you know, if battle is not the right word, the idea of gaining weight after losing weight is like practically debilitating.
Yeah. That's all I have. I don't have anything else.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah. So this is what's been my experience. A few years ago, and I've repeated this cycle a number of times in my life, I decided I was going to get in shape. I've had it once and for all. God damn it, I'm going to get in shape. And I took about a year. I was 100 pounds overweight. And for me, because I'm 6'5", 6'6", when I say it's really not that It's less than for most people. So it sounds like a lot, but I'm used to being 100 pounds overweight. And it takes about a year to lose it. And what happens is, how I like to start it is I start on the Candida diet. The Candida diet supposes that you have some bacteria in your stomach that only eats sweets. And then once you have it in there, it craves the sweets. And once you feed it sweets, it's kind of a weird cycle. So part of this diet, the way it supposes that if you kill off the Candida in your stomach, then you won't have such incredible cravings for sugar. And for me, it works, whether it's in my brain or whether it's really successful, it works for me. So there's a thing called the Candida fast, which is a 12-week program where you don't eat any sugar and you don't eat any fruit and you don't eat any grains or anything like that. You know, basically a keto type of diet, but with different probiotics, and you start to feel better. Then you can go back to eating kind of normally. And once the Candida is killed off in your stomach, it has been my experience that I can't keep the weight. I lose faster than I would like.
Is that like basically just meat and veggies?
It is, but it's a real high fat diet. Like they encourage you to have, when you're having yogurt, to have full fat yogurt. They encourage you to eat like not a couple of handfuls of macadamias, but like three or four handfuls of macadamias, which if you're talking about caloric, is just off the charts. You're not supposed to be eating that much, but I like.
And with yogurt, no sweeteners. When you say no sweeteners, no artificial sweeteners either.
If you have to have it, they allow you stevia,
okay,
but they don't allow you the other because it has some kind of, I don't know, stuff that they don't like. And it's a very well thought out and particular system. You can look it up online. Candida diet's all over the place. But whatever diet works for you. I woke up and I called Ethan the other day because I was like, for those of you who have a significant other or a friend that always is trying to tell you that, you know, give you tough love. And, you know, my girl said, you know, you can't keep losing weight and then gaining weight back. It's not good for you. I'm like, honey, I was a junkie when I was a kid. I put a lot of bad stuff in my body. I don't really, it's like, I don't care, you know. But, and I thought about it. And I was like, you know what? Me losing weight and gaining weight back, you know, other people lose 5 pounds and then gain it back. Mine's just like 50 or 100 pounds. And that is my balance. Like my girl is like, no, you're not balanced. But somehow here I am, a 63-year-old man, and I'm in pretty good shape. And a few months ago, I was 50 pounds overweight. And I guess I say this not as a self-congratulatory thing, but more as I know the black hole that people can get in when they gain weight back after losing weight. It's like being a golfer when you were good. Nobody wants to go play golf when they haven't played for a while because it's not as much of a fun of a game, you know?
Yeah.
And you can really, your brain always wants to trick you. I'll always say this. Your body doesn't want to change. Your body's happy just the way it is. It don't want to change. So it's a complicated mechanism because your brain will try to tell you things to stop you from making a change because change is kind of painful and it doesn't want to change. So when you gain weight, the things that my brain tells me are like, well, that's it. It's over. You're an old man now. Can't do it anymore. You gave it your best shot. And, you know, you might as well just accept the fact that you're a fat fuck and that's the way it is. And I just wanted people to understand that. My girl said, you know, you just can't do that. You can gain 10 pounds. And then because it looks terrible when you do, and I'm worried about you and heart attacks and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, I think I would have figured this shit out by being before my 63rd birthday, if that's what I was going to do. It's something you learn in your 20s or 30s. For me, somehow. And then I started thinking about, like, I like eating ice cream. I like eating 2 pints of ice cream And I like buying 5 pints, putting 2 in the refrigerator. I know I'm going to eat the next tomorrow. And if I feel like getting up in the middle of the night, I like doing that too. And with the balance that I have, which is tenuous at best, I'm able to go through long periods of time where I can do whatever the hell I want and get it out of my system. And if I put on 50 pounds or I put on 30 pounds or I put on whatever, I have the tools to be able to like take it off again. And there's only kind of one downside, because gaining weight takes about 2 seconds and losing weight takes about 5 years. You know, it's just it's a much longer process. But if you can put your mind in it, like today I got on the scale, and for what I weigh, I'm 20 pounds over my what I like to look like. But when I get within 20, pounds.
Yeah. I want to just say also, I know what you like to look like, and what you like to look like, you are way, way beyond what is like maybe even a regular person is aiming for. Because what you, and one other point, Nikki, is I know you very well.
Yep.
I've done a lot of training with you. I've done a lot of dieting with you. We've been through this 4 years together, and you are a savage. Now, I know for a fact when you're in it, you enjoy going to the gym.
I do.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's part of it. I can totally understand this process of you really like your ice cream. So you can have that period of really liking your ice cream and fuck the gym. Mm-hmm. And the flip is you also really like dialing it in and getting serious and going for like all 8 abs and the striations along the sides and all of that and being like a fucking animal.
We're in charge of our bodies, you know, and it's like saying, if you want to take a lot of pain pills, okay, it comes along with a really bad kick, you know, just like if you want to eat. And I was thinking about what is it about us that we get into a place where it's comfortable for us just, I don't eat like I'm enjoying it. I eat like I'm intentionally putting weight on.
Yeah.
That's what I know how to do. But I just like, let's go. I like that feeling. And I don't think it makes me a freak. I just think it's unfortunate, because really what it robs you of is your life would be better if you didn't have to spend 3 hours working out every day. You could have those 3 hours to like work on your spirituality or whatever the hell you want to do. But, you know, that's the life. And I think it's okay. And so I was like 20 pounds over what I had, but like once I hear 20 pounds like this, I'm like, I can knock off 20 pounds. It's like, what, is it a pound a week? So that's 5 months. You know, okay. And it'll come quicker than that. But 5 months, you say, okay, what is it today? May. So by fall, I'm going to have a good fall. I'm going to be like, people are going to want to have people take pictures of me, and I'm going to be like, my ego is going to be satisfied. Okay. But
you in various stages of a tuxedo, and then the tuxedo is coming off. Like, I expect to see those pictures in the fall.
For sure. You know why? Because I'm a vain motherfucker. And even though I'm 63 years old, you know, I like to look the best I can. And part of the job is being in front of the camera and blah, 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 all that bullshit.
Yeah, no, but it's great. It's great. I love it. And I can get into this sometimes. Let me ask you this. Do you find at all, when you go back to start, does it become harder after time and time and time and time?
No. Keeping, like, let's face it, I'm doing weightlifting and the exercise that I do for mainly cosmetic reasons. I'm not doing like, let's be the most healthy person and eat like sprouted algae or whatever. I'm trying to like look good. So I think, you know, everybody's gone into the gym and been like felt their belly go over their pants and looked around and everybody's in shape and be like, God damn it, I don't want to be here again. But, you know, you go in for a few days and something clicks. And it takes, for me anyway, a couple of months before you have like one ray of hope, like, oh, that looked pretty good. You know, I have a big fat belly still, but that, you know, elbow looked kind of good for a minute. And then the longer you stay in the gym, yeah, somebody once told me, if you take the right actions with your physique, it doesn't fucking matter what your opinion is. You're like, right. No matter what you think, it doesn't matter what you think. You take the right actions, it's just going to come, yeah. You know? And so for this particular period of time, I've been doing weightlifting and my girl's got me doing yoga at night. Because she's like, when you weightlift, you know, you're sore all the time, your back hurts and this and that. And I want you to do something for yourself. And I'm like, all right, if you let me go to the gym for 2 hours, I'll go to yoga with you at night. What that means is, as an old man, you're fucking exhausted because right. Yoga is no fucking joke. By the way, imagine me on a yoga mat. It's just not pretty.
It looks like a washcloth. It's just, so small.
They're like, can you bend over? I'm like, no. Can you? No, I can't do any of it. I'm trying. And but you go in there and you know what? It feels good. Well, my point, I guess I'm making is I've had significant gains doing zero cardio. What I think cardio is, and I think, look, I'm not advocating against cardio. Cardio is really good for you. Cardio is healthy. Cardio gets you in good shape. But I think that people who are like me, who are in a fucking rush to get all this fat off of themselves, incorrectly use cardio as opposed to like, well, if, you know, if you're going to lose a pound a week and you do cardio, you lose 2 pounds a week. And maybe even that's true, but why go to the gym? You're trying to go to the gym. And if you can stay the course and not overdo cardio, it is my experience that you have much better results.
As far as body composition.
Correct.
Yeah, 100% I agree with you.
Training for a marathon, you should probably get out there and run. But if your goal is to look good in and out of clothes, I would say limit your cardio because you got it. Like, how many times have we gone into the gym and say, all right, I'm going to put all this muscle on because the muscle is going to burn off more calories and I'm going to look good with muscle because I don't want to look like one of those little old men that is on the Stairmaster every day and he's got a little tire, but he's like skinny. I don't want to look like that. I just think that give yourself a chance to become muscular. Give yourself a chance to like look bad for a while. And tell me if you've ever had this. Like, this is my weight loss experience. It doesn't come quick at all. But one day you wake up and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, I look better, you know? And then the next day, you don't look good at all. Yeah. Or you look at it from a different angle, you don't look good at all. But you'll have these little breakthroughs until pretty soon people are going, you lose some weight? And you're like, yeah, you know, maybe a couple pounds or whatever. And they're like, you look good. And you're like, yeah, thanks, man. And, you know, you walk around all day with that good feeling that somebody's noticing. And then pretty soon, yeah, your clothes fit good. And then you could get in like super amazing shape if that's where your ego and your vanity wants you to do. It's where mine does.
100%. But I also think like for me and for you, I know I'm 15 pounds from my absolute leanest where I had veins in my abdomen, right? Mm-hmm. But I've put on a little bit of muscle and like this and staying at that weight for me was way too hard. It was a complete nightmare. I was never gonna, yeah. I had to eat a cheeseburger. But I'm on my way now. I know for you, and I also know for me, if I wanted to lose 15 pounds, I could do it in a week, no problem. It would be a shitty week, but I do it. I'd probably do cardio, like a lot of extra cardio, eat very little, no salt, no carbs like this. The weight flies off. I've lost, but I don't look the same as I do if I lose it the way you're talking about. Like I'm going to get a pound a week for the next 5 months. and I'm going to lift weights.
Yeah, 52 pounds a year. That's a year, just not even having to do cardio.
But it's also all fat. It's not, you're not dehydrating yourself. You're not wasting any lean tissue. It's just, you're just getting rid of fat, which is for me, a better thing to do. It's a better, it's aligned more with my goals than just weight loss, you know, quote unquote weight loss.
Well, also for you people who are older out there, like I'm an older dude. When I grew up in the 70s, right? The style was be skinny and have long hair. That was it. That was the style. Wear bell bottoms if you have to, but, and that was the look. And that's kind of ingrained in my head, like skinny's good, skinny's good. And if you wanted to do that, the recipe for that is be a vegetarian, don't eat very much, do a lot of cardio and be kind of, you know, swim once in a while and do some calisthenics and you'll get that body for sure. It'll be kind of skinny fat, but it looks good in clothes and, you know, you move and it's a nice weight to walk around on. Me, myself being a man and having kind of like seeing myself as masculinity is important. I like to look like I'm strong and, you know, not like, you know, I eat, you know, nut-free granola bars every day. You know, I like to look strong. And not only that, if you are strong, then you're like, I'm strong, but goddamn, I'm fat. So it's a really, it's a specific kind of look to have be muscular and to have the appearance of being thin. So here's what I've done. I've done the 12-week Candida diet. It's a Candida fast. And I've dropped about, I don't know, just under 30 pounds. And now this is Nick's new diet, has no scientific evidence. But what happens is when you're on your diet, you get sick of eating certain shit.
Yeah.
Like I've eaten enough macadamia nuts and goddamn full fat yogurt. I'm sick of it. And so what I'm going to try to do starting June 1st is I'm going to eat one significantly large carb meal a day, lunch or before, every other day. And on the off days, I'll eat two pieces of fruit. But what I give up is I can't have any fat anymore.
Right.
This is going to be more difficult than eating fat all the time and just not eating any bread or sugar. I mean, that's a pain in the ass for a day, but you could go your whole life on that. But I don't think I can make the gains that I want to make without sticking a significant amount of carbs in my body and not be scared of them.
Yeah.
I'll call you back and see how it goes. I mean, I might be, you know, like him so much that I just off to the ice cream train again, but I don't think so.
But there's a lot of fat in ice cream. I think that's the problem. Anytime you combine those two things, it becomes a disaster. For me, at least, if I have a high fat day, I'm okay. If I have a high carb day, I'm okay. If I combine them, I'm fucked.
Yeah. It just means, yeah, you can have one or the other.
Yeah.
And I think periodization is important to me. Like my girl, I keep talking about my girl, but she's my best friend. So that's kind of what I bounce stuff off. She'll diet and she'll be like, you know what really sounds good? You know, when we have a cheat day, I'd like to have some bread pudding. I'm like, don't mention anything. I'm okay being miserable and I'm okay doing the hardest diets as long as they fucking work.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to like dream about food and what I would do when all this is over because it's never over for me. I'm always going to be on this teeter totter. I'm going to be in, you know, limiting carbs and doing heavy weights. I'm going to be having carbs, limiting fat. I'm going to do heavy weights. And then I'm going to go crazy. And you're going to look at me and like, what a tub of shit. I'm going to like, I know I got to get back to it. And I think that is, it's not the recipe for everybody, but I just kind of wanted to like put it out there that that's my experience. So people are beating themselves up and never get back on it. It's okay, man. You know,
I mean, I think it's a much better position. If you're going to, if you can look back at your life and go like, look at this cycle I've been doing, I've been gaining and losing weight. And if you can find some sense of pride and happiness in the act of weight loss, and then some sense of enjoyment in the act of weight gain, and go at the end of the day, I'm doing both things, and I'm having different types of happiness associated with both. I don't have to be resigned to the shame bullshit and like stop trying to do either one, you know? Like, I don't see anything wrong with that. For me, I mean, I can start to pause it like, you know, well, I'll just be a junkie for 6 months and then not a junkie for 6 months. But stuff like that for me would, I would be thinking about it too much in my off time. Do you know what I mean? And so I'm trying to just get to a place where, because I think no matter what, there's kind of like the graph even of maintenance isn't a perfectly straight line. There are corrections that need to be made, and there are fluctuations no matter what. So no matter what, I think the rest of my life is some version of this.
Yep. I was thinking about, like, I got back from shooting our movie, right? And I went into the edit room, and the edit room is just a big brain thing where you're sitting there all the time. And I was like, oh shit, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to eat everything. And then when I got out of it, people would look at you and be like, oh wow, you put on a couple of pounds. I'm like, if you call 50 a couple of pounds, yeah. And there is shame. I have shame if I like stutter on a word. I have shame for everything. I'm ashamed the way I'm sitting right now. I'm just ashamed of, that's just how I operate. But I was thinking, like, you have a show. You're everybody's hero. You lost all this weight. You're able to do it. You're able to helping people. Like, if you put on that 50 pounds.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Growing up as a kid, my mom would never let us have real cereal. When I say real cereal, I mean the stuff that you'd find at a normal grocery store. My mom would get us the cardboard shavings at the health food store, and I was always miserable with my cereal. And then I would magically go to my friend's house, and they would have real cereal. And I would be so envious, and I would sit and eat bowl after bowl of delicious frosted goodness, sugary, wonderful stuff. And then I grew up and I was able to buy my own cereal, but that lasted all of 2 minutes because then I started dieting. So cereal left my life entirely. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. Now there's Magic Spoon, which is high protein cereal. My favorite flavor is their peanut butter. It's incredible. Variety pack. Four flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Only 140 calories a serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, and soy free. It's incredible. Go to magicspoon.com/glutton and grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code GLUTTON at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/glutton and use the code GLUTTON to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
First of all, your business and everything, it'd be like shameful, and you've given all this advice to people and now you're a fucking hypocrite or whatever like that. Bullshit. That's part of it.
Yeah.
If you put on a couple of pounds, still do the show, still fucking like this, just because just because you don't have to be like 15 pounds underweight like you do when you're on a photo shoot. And if you have a photo shoot, you're shooting for Men's Health, get yourself there. Whatever you need to do, take diuretics and, you know, do whatever you have to do. But like you said, if I get, and I think everybody's body fat content is horseshit. Everyone's like, oh, I was 10%, I was 8%, bullshit. You know, you need to be 6% is your baseline. You die if you're not 6%. So people that are like, I'm 8%. You're like, no, you're not.
Right.
But just call it X percent. If I get under a certain X percent, I'm a cocksucker.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not swearing too much for your show.
No, I love it.
I mean, and I'm grumpy, and it's no way to live. It's a way to live if I'm shooting a movie and I got to take my shirt off. Yeah, you guys are going to have to put up with me for a little while. But as far as being, and at the same time, there's also this desire to be amazing, to look amazing. We don't look good. We want to look amazing. We want to look when people are like, God damn, I want some of what he's got,
yeah.
You know? So if you think about those two things, you can only be amazing for short periods of time. And the idea is to be seen when you're amazing and to hide when you're not as amazing,
right?
Especially when you're fat. But, you know, I can only imagine the pressure that you're under. Like, you must have impulses and you'd be like, the weight of the world is on you. Like, I can't have that, man. Jesus Christ, my livelihood and all that kind of stuff depends on it.
It gets to be a lot. I was in New York. I have a granddaughter now, and we were there. And
congratulations!
Thank you very much. She's
welcome to the club.
Yeah, she's a little bundle of joy. And there was this moment where I was like, "Fuck, we got to go to New York. Okay, I have to have food shipped there. I'm going to have it shipped to my kids' house. They're going to save it for me, and I'm going to be eating that and this and this." And then there was this moment where my wife was like, "No. People just had a baby and, you know, we're going to go to the New York deli and we're going to bring them stuff and we're going to make every meal for them. And it's going to be this fun thing. And you're just going to be off eating your diet food. Fuck you. You're not doing that." And so I had to let it go a little bit. And so, you know, I was like, yeah, you know, this is okay. I'm not going to be here for 5 months watching this kid and eating whatever I want and celebrating with food, but there's going to be a few days where I have to just not think about it. And now that also means I'm not, while they're all off looking at the baby, I'm not finishing off everybody's food that they left on their plate because now is my time to eat whatever I want. So there's some balance. Yeah, I might've done that a little bit, yeah. But to your point, it's true. I use this show and talking to people as a bit of accountability. You know, it's almost like, I'm having an AA meeting with you right now, but we're talking about food. I mean, that's all this is.
Yeah, because we're sickos.
Yeah.
But for me, people are always like, stop being a sicko. It's not good. It's about as helpful as telling a smoker, you know, you shouldn't smoke. It's bad for you. They're like, I know, bitch. I just want to smoke.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think you can snap out of it. Even I think you can snap out of smoking quicker than you can snap out of eating. When you're hungry, you're going to eat.
Yeah.
That's it. You can control kind of what you eat sometimes. But like you said, you're in New York. Sometimes you just got to like, if you go out to a place, you can have, there's a steak and a salad every place. But if you're hungry, you're going to eat. And you can control how much you work out. So I prefer diets when I'm trying to be vain that are not portionalized diets. Like I know that when you get down to the very last bit, you got to like figure out what your metabolism is. And you have to, you know, be in calorie deficit and everything like that. But for the rest of us fat bastards, I prefer diets where I can eat unlimited vegetables, meats, and full fat kind of treats like macadamias and full fat yogurt, rather than like portionalizing and weighing the amount of stuff. I know that that's better, but it doesn't work for my day to day.
And I don't think it works for a lot of people. I don't think you're going to, but because, you know, look, if you're morbidly obese and you've had on a 5'8" dude has needed to or wanted to lose 100+ pounds for 10 years, or he's lost portions of it and put portions of it back on. Telling the guy he's got to start weighing all his food might be overwhelming. He might never do that. You know what I mean? I think like starting off with like, don't drink your calories. You know what I mean? Like just get rid of fruit juice and soda and stuff like that as a step one is good. And it sounds like your diet for the most part is really just about taking out the processed stuff that's really calorically dense. And you wind up on a diet that I'm sure you're in a caloric deficit without even intending to be in one.
You have to, because like, what's that old expression? Nobody ever got fat eating chicken breasts.
Right.
You can't do it. You know, you
can't eat enough of them.
No, it's just like, I don't know if you're like me. I have a hard time hitting my protein targets.
Yeah.
It's like disgusting, you know, but I think that for me, okay, weightlifting and dieting have something in common. It's not about the intensity of your diet or the intensity of your training, although those are very good things too. I'm not poo-pooing them, but much more important is consistency. Yeah. How long can you stay in this motherfucking diet for? Like if you can stay in for a year, it doesn't matter what diet is you're on, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
But if it gets to be too much after 2 months or a month, you're just not going to get the results. So I'd rather have the diet that I can stay in for a year. Same thing with weightlifting. When I came back, you asked the question of, was it hard when I first started? Yeah, I was about 1/3 as strong. I couldn't do anything. I was fat. So what I said to myself is, I'm going to go in for 25 minutes today. And in the beginning, I went on for 25 minutes and it was 35 minutes and 45 minutes. And I looked today, I was in the gym for an hour and a half and I still had stuff to do. And I was like, I don't know it's because I'm getting stronger or I'm going slower or my body's able to handle more volume, but just go there and be consistency is everything when it comes to vanity. Yeah. Now, as far as health goes, I don't know, man. I drink Zevia sodas and, you know, and I don't think that you should count calories in sauces either. Like if you want some ketchup on your burger, have some damn ketchup. I know there's sugar in it, but what are you going to put a cup of ketchup on there? No, just don't worry about that. Just be active and that'll take care of the sauces.
I generally agree. If your diet is going to be thrown off by a tablespoon of ketchup, then I think it's not like your diet needs to be reevaluated. That's my personal thing. I think where people get in trouble is like, you know, suddenly you're going like sauces are okay. So orange chicken from, you know, the Chinese fast food place
or whatever.
Whatever it is, orange chicken. And then it's like, well, sauce is okay. So deep fried is okay. And like sauce, soup, you know, whatever you want to call it, let's get a lot of sauce. Then it can become a real issue because you might have added 1,000 calories to your meal. Maybe that's extreme, but added 250
whatever,
or something like that.
Yeah. I think that fried food is the devil. You know, I just think that if you want to be serious about a diet, it's like drinking. People are like, well, I have 2 glasses of wine a week. I'm like, you're trying to diet. That's just calories. Doesn't have anything good for it except calories. And maybe if you're having an anxiety attack or something, it'll calm you down. But I don't take people seriously that say they're dieting and have any drinks.
Right.
I mean, that's the same thing with fried food. You're just not thinking about it the right way.
Yeah.
Like my brother always said, I didn't tell you to like it. I told you to eat it.
And nobody knows more than Frankie about this stuff. I mean, he has trained a lot of people.
Frankie knows a lot. By the way, his fighter, Emiliano, just won his pro debut. He's in 7th heaven. But that's another thing. I think it's cool. I love your job because the community of sickos that you're speaking to, and I'm lucky enough to be on your show, is we're the best ones. all these motherfuckers that can go to Jack in the Box and McDonald's and keep their little figures and never have to worry about it. Fuck those people.
Yeah.
They don't understand anything about life because life is about struggle. Life is about experience, but it's also about learning how severe the rules and consequences are in life and being able to overcome them and be like, yeah, so what, you know, until finally one day we're too old and we just give up, you know, but fuck those people that have got like hourglass figures. They're not my people.
Yeah,
just
no,
like
me neither.
People that are like, I've never taken a drug in my life. I'm like, then you and I really don't have much to talk about because that was a big part of my experience, you know? And I think it's okay to be sick. And it's okay to find tools to skate around them, even though you have those weird compulsions, you know?
Yeah, but do you look
fucking great. First of all, people say this to you all the time, but you and I have gone through the ringer a few times. And I got to tell you, you look fucking great. And I'm used to you, like, because I am the person I am. I like you big and as muscular as you possibly can be. And I know that doing what you do, you can't do that because you're calorie restricted on your diet. But I still think that you're an amazing looking person, no matter where the fuck you came from, you know?
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Thank you. I think you look great too. I mean, this is the first I've seen you. I saw some pictures when you were heavier and I haven't seen you in a couple of months. You look fucking great too.
Getting there. You know, I'm like, I got a ways to go to be like where you and I like to be, like veiny and like, hey, let's take our shirts off. But,
A little while longer. What? How long will you try to sustain that? Like, what's the maintenance plan for that? Are you playing? Like, cause I just like get there and it's like, I'm there for a day. And then I'm like, this is not life. I can't live like this.
You know what? I think you find your own balance. My life is weird. Like you and I go off and like, if I go off to make a movie, I'm gone for a year. And like, we were in Mexico, there was a gym there, but it wasn't my gym. So I didn't really like it that much. So I went for a little while. I was like, fuck this thing. I've got to wake up early and, you know, there'll be times where I fall off, but it doesn't mean I'm not part of the club. I just know I got to get back on the horse. You know, if you have a stable life that has a 9-to-5, if I was living like that, if I could make my living going to the gym, I'd be in the gym like 6 hours a day and be like, you want to see what the human body can do.
Right.
But, you know, as you get older, you know, you got to like make a living and the injuries come into play and there'll be all sorts of things that stop you from doing, you know, tell me if you think this. I don't want to be like in tennis player shape all the time and walk around. And it's not that I don't want to. Tennis players look good. I just don't, my dick doesn't get hard for that. You know,
I think they're a little small. They look small to me.
Yeah. To be part of the fit community is not for me. I want to be part of the sick ass coming in and like being strong and like muscly. And also I don't like meatheads.
Right.
Even though I probably am one, but I don't like that. Oh, dude, I got my pre-workout and all. I don't give a shit, you know?
Yeah. No, but I to your point, like when I was obsessively doing cardio and riding my bike 8 hours a day,
remember that,
and got thin, like actually thin, I was not happy.
Was that around yellow?
Yeah. Yeah. I was thin in that movie.
Dude, I got news for you. You didn't look good.
Yeah. I didn't feel good. I felt gaunt. A light breeze will knock me. I remember even seeing Frankie and he was kind of like, whoa, what are you doing? Like, I think he thought I was a junkie, to be honest with you. I wasn't at the time. But like that was too thin for me. I wasn't comfortable at all.
It's great if you want your life to be about riding 100 miles a day. You know, I think that should be enough to like, you know, get away from whatever you're getting away from.
Right. But
I think if you go to the gym for 45 minutes to an hour a day, lift heavy things and then like do some other kind of self-improvement on your body? Was it yoga or stretching or going for a walk or whatever, that kind of stuff? You can really be in charge of your physique.
Yeah.
But not if you don't get in charge, in control of your eating.
Right. That's the key.
And so I don't do those food plans like you do. And I know that that helps you a lot because you've got a highly analytical and mathematical type of mind. And my mind's more like, fuck it. But it is. It's like, yeah, I know what they want to do. Let me just do my own thing. Do you think you could see yourself eating box food for the rest of your life?
No, certainly not. And in fairness, there are a few days a week where I'm not eating that. Yeah, it is probably the majority of what it is, definitely the majority of what I eat. But, you know, I like to cook too. So sometimes I just want to cook everything from scratch. I don't want it to come out of a box. For me, it's just the convenience of it. And it reduces my anything I have to think about. So, I know this week I'm eating turkey burgers, bison burgers, and chicken. That's what I'm eating. And so it's there. And whenever I'm hungry, and if I'm going to have a carb with it, I'll have a bit of sweet potato or some rice or a piece of bread, and there's broccoli. And so that's what I eat. And I don't have to think beyond that. Mm-hmm. But then there'll be times where Brandy will want to go out to dinner, and I can't deny her that. She deserves that. You know, if as a normal person, she wants to have wine and go out to dinner and feel like a part of some community, whether I really want to do that or not, I got to take her. She's my wife. You know what I mean? So yeah. I got to eat the fucking Italian deli and Jewish deli in New York because we have a grandchild, and this is how you celebrate having a grandchild. And I have to do that.
I don't think it's the biggest sacrifice in the world. Although I know that the next day you're like, I don't feel as good. I don't know what's happening. I'm holding a lot of water because of the sodium and thing like this. I could be better. It's going to take me 2 weeks to get this off. Like, all those crazy thoughts go through your mind.
Yes.
I have a girl who is the greatest girl of all time. She's the greatest. And her thing is, I can make something that's bad for you, but I can make the healthy version of it that has nothing in it. And I mean, she's a saint. She'll literally spend 3 hours a thing. And then when you come home, she'll have it for you. And not only that, she's really a good cook. So, and you taste it and you're like, I don't trust the caloric value in this shit. I just don't. Yeah. Why is this meal that's bread-based? Well, it's only almond millet and this and that and chestnut. And you're like, still, it's bread. And it's 90% bread. Like, how does that work? But I know the feeling because, like, we go out to dinner too, but my dinner is easy because my favorite food is prime rib. And I go to prime rib or steak, and I'm a happy guy anytime like that. I don't need a lot of different foods. And when you say about the box, there is something great about eating that box food that you like, at least I know what I'm eating. I don't have to think about that.
Yeah.
I used to have an assistant when I was a big shot, and they'd be like, what do you feel like eating, sir? I'm like, you know what the good part about being successful is? That I don't have to fucking think about what I'm going to fucking eat.
Yeah. Just bring me food.
Whatever. So I get that. It's just, but my girl won't allow me to eat out of a box. Yeah. She's like, I cook the food and you eat it. You got that?
Yeah.
I'm like, sounds like a good deal to me, but could you just know you're being crazy? You love quinoa. I don't love quinoa. Yes, you do. I made it before and you loved it. And so you can't tell me you don't love it. Well, then you tricked me and I don't know. You know?
Right. Right. I loved it once too. Yeah. I think we have 50 pounds of quinoa in a vacuum sealed box for the end of the world or something like that. But other than that, I'm not eating quinoa.
If it's quinoa or rice and somebody's force feeding it to me, I might eat some quinoa.
Right. Sure.
Because it's got more protein or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody told me it's better.
That's fair. I'll eat the rice, but I'll just eat less of it and an extra chicken breast.
Now, I'm 63. What are you, like 10 years behind me, right?
Yeah. A little
more
bit.
Or less.
More.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so you're a young man. As you get older, and I tell you, these next 10, 15 years are not just like you don't notice anything. You start getting like your body starts changing. And so for our older people out there, especially the gentlemen, if you get some muscle on you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It gives you a false appearance that you're not getting older.
Yes.
So as you get older, your skin starts to sag and this and that, you can fill it up like that. But just the basic, you don't see too many guys that are like in their 60s and 70s that are like big guys, the big strong guys. And you're like, oh, that guy must be like 50 or something like this. So it gives you, it's like some guys dye their hair. I don't dye my hair, but some guys dye their hair. I think that this is an acceptable way of trying to like fake people out that you're not so old. You know, my girl said, well, you're going to be lifting weights when you're 70? I said, no, I'm going to be fucking dead when I'm 70. But if I'm alive, I will be lifting weights.
Yes, me too, dude. I at the end of the day, I feel better after the gym. So there's really no reason. And if I can maintain any bit of muscle mass going into my older years, I'm going to do it. It's a no-brainer for me.
Yeah. But big cars burn more fuel.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Even if it's just like, I know I like to eat a lot. If I lose a bunch of muscle, I'm not going to be able to eat as much. Even if that's my calculation that I'm going with that.
And I think that, oh God, it's weird because we're going to get into a weird area. But I don't like the fact that the world is becoming unisex. There's boys and there's girls. And I believe in all that everybody should have all rights and everybody should be like this, but there's boys and there's girls. So I prefer a masculine aesthetic, you know? And
I do think even in deference to the trans community is all about that binary. There's boys and there's girls. I'm not correct, yeah. So I'm going to be the other one. And so I think that there's a very small subset that's trying to do like, there are no genders.
Well, I just think style is different. Like think about actors. How many actors are playing a real male kind of masculine aesthetic? Well, let's see. There's Russell Crowe. I guess Sean Penn. But like, Brad Pitt? No, he's cool. He's just a cool dude. You know, the guys that are on the Marvel movies. I don't know if that's my idea of masculine, but it's certainly muscled and like, you know, like this. But most of the aesthetic is everybody's tries to be not offensive these days, you know, and I don't necessarily agree with that, you know.
Well, I don't agree that being a strong guy. Like when I think of the various reasons I like strength and I want strength, none of it has to do with oppressing anyone or belittling anyone or making anyone else seem inferior. These are just my desires for myself and my intention for how I want to behave with my family and how I want to provide for them. It's all very personal. I think once we start ascribing other things to it, it gets so muddied and confusing, you know.
Everybody hates something these days.
Yeah, everybody's mad about something.
And I don't hate anything. I don't really know anything about anything. I just try not to step in it most of the time.
Yeah, but, no, I'm a fan of Camille Paglia and how she talks about, like, she's a big fan of pop art and she's like really into masculinity and femininity. And she's a chick who is in a relationship with a chick. And if you asked her, she's probably a they them. But she's like still into it. You know, she still says like masculinity is awesome. Femininity is awesome. And it's okay to be like that.
And androgyny is awesome, too. It's like, I don't always eat strawberry ice cream, but like once in a while, it's great. I'm a humanist. I like all of them. But unfortunately, my vanity comes in and I'm like, it's like those weird thoughts you have, like, you know what I should do? I remember when I used to be single, I would have thoughts going, you know what would be good? I should get a girlfriend. She should be like this. And you're like, where is this fucking imaginary fucking person you're dreaming of? And why are you having these thoughts?
Right.
The same thing when you about what you want to be. The images that we have for ourselves are so not what we need, but still they're desires. So why shouldn't we be able to have them?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I
where
really
did the conversation go, by the way,
I don't know. It went somewhere, but identity is important because I think a lot of what people are struggling with too is identity, how we see ourselves, how we can affect change with how we see ourselves. I got skinny and it fucked with my identity. Like I did not recognize myself and I feel more comfortable and confident now than I did when I was 200 pounds. So that's what I know. I feel better about myself. I still feel very fat sometimes and have to like go like, you're a little crazy, eat a cheeseburger. But I think identity is it's a strange thing that I don't think that we should rely on other people's subjectivity to determine it for us.
Yeah. I mean, we all are fat if we take our shirts off and we're judging against swimsuit models or bodybuilders, you know, because those guys have got that day and they're way down and the lighting's good and everything. So, but that's what we judge against, right?
Yeah.
But object is, I guess if we take anything from it, it's consistency. What can you do for a long time? Because that's what you're going to be.
Yeah.
Like, how can you eat for a long time? What kind of gym work can you do for a long time? What kind of exercise? And that's what you are. And the rest of it is go out and enjoy life, man.
You know? Right. And don't beat yourself up.
Serious. Yeah.
If you're going to eat 2 pints of ice cream, you better fucking enjoy it and then not feel bad about it.
5 pints of ice cream.
Right.
I don't care. You know, that's for me. And because I can tell you one thing. We could get ourselves in shape, but I ain't ever getting any younger.
Right.
Can't take away all this Rolodex eyes I have like this, you know, like, so I might as well like, I might as well feel good, man. You know,
yeah.
I'm proud of you, brother. I really am proud of what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Nick. And I appreciate these sentiments and you giving them to me.
Well, you know, I'm certainly not a person that has normal trains of thought. But if people are out there and they're like just feeling bad about themselves, you know, I'm glad to be able to come on the show and be able to like, yo, man, we're all crazy. You know, just get through the day and do a couple of things and, you know, maybe you'll feel better about yourself, you know?
Yeah. I love you, Nikki.
Love you, brother.
And now for the Q&A.
This is a question from Terrence.
Hi, Terrence.
He says, I love the podcast and have learned so much. Thank you, Ethan and Paige, for all you do. My question is related to blood work. I hear Ethan mention often about having blood work every 6 months. Any advice on where to learn what to look for in blood work? Also, how do you use the results to make changes to your diet and exercise?
This is a very easy question to answer, Terrace. I have a doctor who does all of that, who went to medical school, and he knows the answers to all of these figures. I have no idea what any of it means when you look at a blood panel. I've looked at them, and I couldn't begin to tell you. I just don't know. So I wouldn't want to say, like, here's how you do X to affect Y. I just don't know. I think that's really just a doctor's job. And the things specifically that I have seen changes in have been, prior to any weight loss and heading into rehab, I had done blood work and had very bad, apparently, scores on my kidneys and liver, and very high lipids, very high triglycerides and cholesterol. And so all of that has come into normal range. And then when I was doing keto, I had astronomically high cholesterol, which has come into normal range. But as far as like trying to have some direct impact on some aspect of my blood, I've never done that. So I don't know. I'm just saying, like, when I have blood work and I have a physical every year, and I do blood work a couple times a year, this is just me and my doctors kind of like, let's make sure I'm healthy, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing.
Got it. Yeah, that, yeah. I mean, listen, I think that's like such a key point, but, you know, it is about your doctor at that point. Like, everybody's different. Everyone can have extenuating circumstances. No two people are the same. So yeah, it's definitely like always check with your doctor. And if you're getting blood work done, you would have someone interpreting it for you.
Well, yeah. One of the very few things he told me to do at one point was, he said, I have a lot of iron in my blood, possibly because I eat a lot of meat. And he said, if you were a girl and you were bleeding every month, this would be fine. But since you're not, why don't you give blood a couple of times a year? And in complete transparency, I said, okay, and didn't do that. And it hasn't come up again. So I just make sure I'm okay. I'm not like, I don't need to get magnets run through my blood to suck the iron, even though I think iron is not electrically charged and doesn't go to magnets, but you get my point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. Good answer. If you have a question that you would like answered on this podcast, please send it to us at AmericanGlutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee. You can follow us on Instagram at American Glutton Podcast. Sincerely.